It's really great to be here in Bakersfield. We're actually kind of in town because we are dropping our daughter off at Life Pacific University in a couple weeks. And so here's a picture of the family. Here we are. So this is my wife, Kim, and two boys, Caden and Connor. Connor's 15 years old, Caden's 11, and then Kayla, who just graduated from high school, is 18 years old. So that's actually a terrible thing. I think it's the worst thing that ever happens to a parent. Like, kid graduates and then they just leave you. In our case, it's really crazy because she'll be on a different continent than us. And so I'm not sure how to navigate this. But it is a good excuse to visit California more often, which I love California. So like Tom was saying, yeah, we've been on the mission field now for 6 years. And we were here right before we deployed to Russia. And our mission really is to help develop Foursquare in Russia. And that basically means we're trying to find people that we can disciple, raise up to be leaders, and plant new churches across the country. There's 11 time zones in Russia, and currently there's only 7 Foursquare churches. So we actually have more time zones in Russia than Foursquare churches. So we have a lot of work to do, but we have a big vision. We are believing that God's going to start a movement, and there's going to be 500 Foursquare churches in Russia. That's like our big faith prayer, you know? You know, you look in the mirror and you think, that's impossible. Like, how can I do that? And guess what? I can't. But God can, right? And I can just be part of what he's doing. And that's really true for all of our lives, right? That God wants to do something in us. God wants to do something through us. And sometimes we look in the mirror and we think, there's no way that I could do what he's asking me to do. And you know what? Maybe you're right. But it doesn't matter if you're right or not. If God wants it to happen, it can happen. And it will happen as long as you say, yes, Lord, use me, right? And I think that's what I want to be, that kind of person that no matter how crazy it seems, no matter how big it seems, I want to be the kind of person that always says, okay, Lord, whatever your will is, I will do that thing. Today I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you can talk to me afterwards if you want to ask questions about Russia. I'm sure probably as I'm talking a little bit, some stories might come out. I guess I should say that our family lives in St. Petersburg, Russia. It's a beautiful city, 8 million people, big place, lot of ministry that needs to be done. Less than 1% of people believe in Jesus like we do in Russia. It's a very oppressed place, very difficult to share faith. In fact, like, you can't do any religious activity in a group outside of a designated building to do that activity. And so if you're at a Starbucks, for instance, you can't have a Bible study legally. If you're at a restaurant, you can't pray for your food legally. Somebody could actually turn you in. You can't legally invite somebody to church. And so it does make ministry extremely challenging. It also makes it very relational, which is very good, right? And so we do a lot of work trying to connect with people, and through those relationships, trusted relationships, we can share faith in that way. So I want to just share, like, what I think is probably, in my opinion, the saddest story in the Bible. Does everybody want to hear a sad story this morning? That's why you came to church, right? Let's just get depressed together, you know? It's like, why be depressed alone? Might as well get depressed with a whole group of people. The story that I'm talking about is the story of Moses and the Israelites who God freed from slavery and rescued out of Egypt. And, you know, it's an amazing story. I love reading the Old Testament and reading this portion of Scripture that talks about the incredible things that God did. And here, again, is Moses, a guy who's like, God asked him to do something. And at first he's like, no, you know, not me, God. You know, it's got to be somebody else who can do this, right? How about that guy? How about my brother? You know, it's like, so it's not just a me thing. It's like people in the Scriptures also are like kind of resistant sometimes to believing that God can use them in ways that are beyond their ability. And so Moses was no exception. But eventually Moses said, okay, I'll do this thing. And he does this incredible thing. He goes and he confronts Pharaoh. And they have this conversation, and he tells Pharaoh, you know what? God is wants my people, you know, his people, to leave Egypt and to go to a promised land. And so I'm asking you right now, will you let God's people go? And Pharaoh's like, no way. But over the course of time, right, and over some amazing miracles and terrible things that happened, eventually Pharaoh was like, okay, just get out of here, right? Get all these people out of here. I don't want them anywhere near Egypt because you're ruining our lives. You're ruining our land. And so Moses and all of Israel leave Egypt, and they go, and they're heading towards this amazing promise, this promised thing, land that God had swore that he would give to Moses and to the people of Israel. And so they're heading that direction, and kind of like the climax for me, the climax of this story is they get to the Red Sea, right? And they're at the Red Sea, and there's nowhere for them to move forward. And after some time, very quickly, Pharaoh decided, you know, wait, why am I letting all my workers leave, you know? And so he decides to take his army and chase Israel. And so they are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place now, right? It's the Red Sea, and now the army of the Egyptian army is behind them, and they have nowhere to go, literally. And sometimes I feel like I have nowhere to go. Sometimes maybe you feel like, you know, you are stuck between a rock and a hard place, and actually there's no possible way out of this situation. And so all you can do is cry out to God and be like, okay, God, please help me through this. And so in this case, God does an unbelievable thing, right? I mean, it is incredible what happens. And the sea opens up, and the Israelites are able to walk through the sea on dry land. And if I was like the Israelites at this point, I would be like, man, there is nothing God can't do. You know, it would just be like this unbelievable thing, this experience that I would never question God again. So they go through the Red Sea on dry land, and the Egyptian army follows them, and guess what? You know, water crashes, kills them all, and for sure, Israel's free. They're on their way to the promised land. Nothing can stop them now. Is that true? Right? Is that the way the story goes? It's like, here we are, right? Army's gone, we're good. You know, God just did some amazing miracles, and we're heading right into the promised land. So let's go, everybody. And so they start to walk, and then they start to murmur, and then they start to complain, and we want some food, and what are we going to do out here? And there's nothing to drink. And so this nervousness starts to take place, and the Israelites start actually complaining and wondering, what are we even doing here? You know, this is crazy. But they were heading towards a direction. They had a promise from God, and they were moving that way. And so Moses decides, okay, we're going to send some people over to the promised land. We're going to explore this place. We're going to find out what's going on there. We're going to see if, wow, is this really a land flowing with milk and honey? Is this really as great as God is saying? Or what are the people like there? What's the fruit like there? What's the landscape like there? And so he sends 12 spies into the land, and they go there, and they check out this place. And really, it's an amazing place. They are dumbfounded with how great this place is, this land is, this promise is, and they all agree, wow, it's awesome. However, 10 of these spies decide it's awesome, but, right? But there's giants in the land. There's people that live there, and these people are bigger than us, and these people will crush us. In fact, we look like little ants in the eyes of these huge people. And so they come back, and they give their report to Moses, and they give their report to the people of Israel, and they say, this is a great place. But 10 of them are like, yeah, but it's impossible. Right, God has a promise for us, but it is impossible for us to step into that promise because the people there are too big. The challenges are too high, right? The wall is too strong. It's not, we're not going to be able to do this. We're too little for this. But two of them, you know, Caleb and Joshua, they have a different perspective. And so they're like, what are you people talking about? You know, if God said, I promise you this, God for sure will give it to us. And so we may be smaller than them, but God's bigger than them. So come on, everybody, let's go and take the promise. All right, let's go. Come on, I'm going. Come with me. Nobody's moving. Everybody's like, oh, I don't know. They're huge. It's too big. We're too little. What are we going to do around here? They're going to kill our kids. They're going to take our wives. And we're going to have nothing. Come on. I mean, it's the promise of God, right? There's nothing that God can't do. Isn't that true? I mean, he told us. He promised us. In fact, look what he did to get us out of Egypt. Look at that miracle, walking across the sea on dry land. He can surely do it. There's nothing that's impossible for God. He's big enough. He's strong enough. You all experienced it. But nobody would take a step. They were all afraid. They were all discouraged. They listened to the negativity and to the complaints and to the fears of the ten instead of believing the truth of God's promise. So what happens? A generation dies. A generation loses faith. A generation does not experience what God promised that he would give to them. Now, I find myself in this story so easily because I know that God has some promises on my life, some things that he's spoken to me, some things that are in the scriptures. You know, if you read through the scriptures, there's all kinds of promises in there. And you know, I want to believe it. In fact, if I look back at my life, I for sure see that God has done incredible things, unexplainable things, miraculous things in my life, miraculous things in the lives of people around me. And so there should be no doubt in my mind that if he did it before, he can do it again. That if he promised something, he will accomplish it. But I'm sometimes kind of like these Israelites who I just think, yeah, God promised it, but I'm not smart enough, but I'm not wise enough, I don't have enough money, I'm not talented enough, I'm not good looking enough, I don't have enough connections, I don't know the word of God enough, I'm not smart with money enough. Like, there's all these things that, but you don't know my wife. She's got some serious, you know, and so how will this marriage be fixed? I don't know, because, I mean, God promised it, but you don't know her. You know, it's like we have this stuff, and we want to say, God could, but. And so this generation, the Moses generation, is the generation of, like, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Didn't. They could have experienced the promised land. They could have experienced the promises of God becoming a reality in their lives. But they were too doubtful. They were too discouraged. They were too afraid. And they never experienced what God had for them. Now that is depressing. I'm glad it's not the end. I'm glad it's not the end of this story, right? Because even though this generation died off, God's promise didn't die off, right? God still had the promise. He still had the people he wanted to give the promise to. And now there's a change of the guard. And there's a new generation. And there's this guy named Joshua who becomes the leader. And Joshua is one of the two that was saying to all of Israel, we got this, right? God has this. We can step into this. And so Joshua becomes the leader of this group. And I want to read this in Joshua 1, chapter John chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. And let's look at that. I'll read it off the screen. So it says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Now, this is God talking to Joshua, the new leader of Israel. And he's saying, okay, you want to be successful? You want to accomplish everything? Get in the book, right? Verse 9. Next verse. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I think it's interesting that God's telling Joshua not to be afraid. He's the guy who was not afraid, right? But this is a new situation. This is a new thing for him. He wasn't the leader before. Now he's the leader, right? And now he's about to step into something that he's never experienced before. And a lot of times that's where we get hung up, right? It's like these new experiences that we have to live out that cause us to be afraid, that cause us to be discouraged, that cause us to wonder, can I do this or not? And so God was saying to Joshua, don't be afraid. You got this, right? Verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready." So, okay, we're going from talking about it to doing it. Right, we're talking about, I'm believing it can happen, to I'm going to help make it happen. Next verse. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So there's this movement that's happening. And so when I'm reading about Joshua and I'm thinking about this story, I'm extremely challenged in this thought that, I mean, faith is important, but doing something about that faith is equally important. And so the Moses generation didn't even have faith. Now Joshua has faith, but he also knows that faith on its own is not enough. I have to also do something with that faith. Faith works, right? Faith works, right? Having faith works. I mean, it works. It doesn't work without faith. But also, faith works. I have to do something with the faith that I have. So Joshua, if you keep reading the story, they do set out 3 days from that point, and they do take their first step into the promised land. Another miracle happens at Jordan River. They walk across the dry land there, and they step into the promise. And this is incredible. This is amazing. This is fantastic. This is unbelievable that it took 40 years, but now they are experiencing the promise of God become a reality. What's kind of interesting is my wife was called to Russia when she was in college. It was 1995. And we just moved there 6 years ago. So it took about, I can't do the math, I'm not super smart, but 15 to 20 years from the promise being spoken to the promise becoming a reality. And in that time frame, you know, it's easy to kind of lose faith. It's easy to kind of lose, like, belief that God's really going to fulfill what he wanted. And sometimes, we want these microwave promises just become a reality. It's like, okay, put it in the microwave for 1 minute, okay, boom, and then it all of a sudden happens, you know? And we don't go through the process that God wants us to go through and stay faithful in that process, like you were talking about, and have faith and to be doing the things that God wants us to do in order to see the promise become a reality. Sometimes it takes a long time, and actually, I want to encourage you. Maybe God's spoken something to you. And maybe it was a long time ago. And maybe you think God forgot. He didn't forget. What he spoke to you in the past can still happen in the future. What he spoke to you a long time ago can still be fulfilled. We just can't give up. We can't lose faith. We can't stop believing that God is going to do what he wants to do in you and through you. What has God spoken to you? The freedom from some addiction, a thriving marriage, a healed relationship that's been broken, a son or daughter that's walked away from the Lord, and you're praying and believing that they're going to come back. You feel like God's spoken to you and said they will come back. A fruitful ministry, a better paying job. Like, what are those things that God has promised to you? A couple years ago, I was, like at the beginning of the year, I like to kind of take a couple days and just spend some time with Jesus and really kind of focus on what does God want to do in me and through me this year. And a couple years ago, as I was praying and spending these 2 days, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to really focus in on praying for 7 things. And to like pray in faith for these things every single day for that entire year. And so these are the 7 things. I'll give them to you. I was praying that my marriage would just be thriving. It would just be better and better all the time. I was praying for my kids, that they would like kind of hear from God and get focused on what he wants them to do, and they would just like be heading that direction without distraction. I was praying for our finances. I was praying that we would give away more money than any other year in the past, and that God would bless us so that we could be a blessing to others. We want to see the gospel go around the world. It's not just, you know, churches in America that want to give and see the gospel go around the world. Missionaries in Russia want to receive money. So, and we're sponsoring stuff in all kinds of different countries in Europe and the stand countries. And we are really, we want to see God do great things. And so we wanted to give away money. I was praying that there was a couple bad habits I had that I wanted to replace with some good habits. I was praying that our ministry, Foursquare Russia, would be just really effective and fruitful. That's number 5. I was praying that when I'm praying for people, that miracles would actually happen. It wouldn't just be like these cute prayers, oh, whatever your will is, God. No, it'd be like, Lord, I pray that this person would be healed in Jesus' name, and boom, they're healed, right? I want to see miracles happen. And then I was praying that I would learn Russian. So that would be the biggest thing of all. So I'm praying, and I start off the year, and I'm not talking about like I'm sitting on my sofa and I'm drinking my latte and I'm, you know, okay, Lord, you know, the 7 things, you know, I pray that my marriage would be great, you know. I was like, I had this conviction to like pray, to like be up on my feet, to be pacing back and forth, to be really focused, and to be praying for these things, and to be believing that these aren't just my ideas, these are God's ideas, and to really know that, you know, God has promises for each of these things, and to just like, come on, God, I want to see this stuff happen. I want to do this stuff. I want to have this amazing marriage that's like duplicatable, that we could be an example to people. I want my kids to just grow up and know you and to be on fire for you and to go and that our mission would be expanded because of their lives, you know? And just every single piece of that, just praying like some serious prayer. And you know what happened? As I'm praying, God's like, you want a thriving marriage, huh? Well, then get off the couch and go and do the dishes. What? What's up with that, God? You know, it's like, that's not what I'm talking about, you know? We just should get along really well, right? I mean, no, if you want something, I mean, in every area, you want to give away more money? You have to, like, how are you going to get more money? You have to invest your money. You have to be wise with your money. You have to give up, you know, a couple times eating out a week. You have to, you know, it's like whatever it is. And so he just started showing me, I have promises for you in all these areas of your life, but there's something that you have to do. And if you want to see the promises become a reality, you have to act. You have to work. You have to move towards that. God's, I'm not going to fall asleep on my Russian textbook and wake up in the morning speaking Russian. It would be incredible. I wouldn't complain. I'm praying that that happens. But more likely is that every single day I'm going to be in my study book and I'm going to be learning new words. I'm going to be learning grammar. I'm going to be just working hard. I'm going to be communicating with people in Russian. And eventually the promise is going to become a reality. Now, Joshua knew this too. Joshua knew that God wasn't going to just beam up the Israelites and set them over into the promised land, right? He knew that he had to get the provisions ready. He had to get the people ready. He had to get them moving. They had to take a step into the promised land. That's how they were going to get there. It wasn't just this miracle of God, though God did miracles along the way, and their whole history is a miracle, right? But they had to do their part. And for sure, we all have to do our part. I like to think about it like this. It's like I have one foot, and it's like the step of faith, right? All right, I'm believing God. You got this. You told me. You promised this. It says in your word. So I have faith. But then I take a step, and it's, okay, here's what I'm doing to see that faith become a reality. And so I'm taking a step of faith, and I'm working. And as I keep that on, I keep having faith, and I keep doing what God tells me to do to see that thing become a reality, what happens is the promise happens. And so it's this relational thing that takes place. And so, you know, this year, after I prayed every single day, seven things, blah, 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 I realized, you know what the most important thing is? I have to be really connected to Jesus. I have to know what he's asking me to do. I can't just be doing stuff. I can't just be heading in every direction. I can't just, you know, think that, oh, if I just follow these steps, I'm going to have a thriving marriage. I have to hear from God. And God's got to say, here's what's going to work in your marriage. And I want you to do this. And I want you to do that. And so it's this connection that takes place. And so he was telling Joshua, this is what you have to do. And so he did. Joshua did what God told him to do. When I think about the heroes in Scripture, you know, these people that took steps. Noah took a step towards a hammer. Abraham takes a step away from home. Moses takes a step, confronts Pharaoh. The people of Israel take a step and they go around Jericho and the walls fall down. Daniel takes a step and bows a knee and prays to God. Mary takes a step and guess what? A Messiah is born. The wise men take a step and they follow a star. 12 men take a step. They follow Jesus. And Christianity is, you know, the Christian leaders of the time were risen. Peter takes a step and walks on water. Paul takes a step and the gospel goes to Europe. Jesus takes a step to the cross, right? And we have salvation. We're here today because of these great people of faith. And they were faithful people who did what God asked them to do. They believed, so they acted. And that's what I want to be. Because I can read about all these great people. But honestly, I don't really care. I mean, I care. But I want to know, what about me? What's the story that God's going to write about me? What's the story that people are going to tell about me? What's at the end of my life, what is it going to be like? I had this one picture of me, and I turned 50 in November. And I decided to run a marathon, and you don't just run a marathon, right? I really believed it was something I should do, and it took a lot of work to train, a long time, a lot of miles run. And but I turned 50 one week later. I ran a marathon, and I finished it. And it was the best feeling, crossing that finish line. I thought, I'll never do this again in my entire life. That was just... One thought that I had, you know, is that I did say that, but then a day later, I'm like, well, I could do this different and do this different and do that different, and I could probably run a better race, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so I started thinking about, okay, if I was to do it again, just if, you know, hypothetical, I would change some things. And I actually had the opportunity, I could do that. It would be great. But here's the thing with life. You got one shot, right? I have one chance. I can do it right or not. I don't have a do-over. And so I have to, like, today decide. I'm going to believe the promises of God. I'm going to have faith to believe that what he says can happen. And it will happen as I listen to him and I start taking steps of obedience. And it might not happen in 1 minute. It might take 15 years. It might take 30 years. But I'm going to trust that God is acting. And when he speaks, I can just say, come on, everybody. God said it'll happen. And I believe it will. So let's just go. What's the story of your life going to be? Right? What are people going to say about you? I'm believing with you that they're going to say great things, that you're going to finish the race well because faith works in your life, right? I guess I'm done. Going to get kicked out of here. Kim and I, we don't exist on the mission field without support. So thankful for your church and the fact that you guys give. In fact, we just had a check last month, and it was such a blessing. And we can't be on the mission field without that. There's always ebb and flow. And sometimes the ebb is greater than the flow. I don't know. And right now we're in a season where we need to raise about, right now, about $400 more per month. And so we're asking if maybe if you want to partner with us. Church gives a percentage, but we also, most of our giving is from individuals. And so maybe God's speaking to you and wants you to become one of our team members. And so we have this thing. I think it was in your bulletins. And at minimum, we would love to your name and email address. We'll put you on our newsletter list. We'd love to just stay connected that way, and then you know what's going on. You can be praying for us. But if you want to also become a monthly sponsor, help us get that $400 down a little bit, that would be, of course, greatly appreciated. You can fill out those cards, I guess, and ushers will hand them to an usher on your way out of here. That would be great. Look at this. Here's my medal from my marathon. And I think God wants to give one of these to you, right? When you go into heaven, that he would say, good job, good and faithful servant. You believed what I said, and you lived it out. And so have faith and take steps of action. Amen?